live from the Battle Born Broadcast Center. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, here we go. Cofield and Company on Wednesday. Battle Born is the location. John Von Tobel is here back in our Findlay Toyota studios. It is Griffin. They're all the company. We got more company coming in with Justin Watkins next hour. Arash, Mr. LA, sometimes Mr. Vegas, Mr. Hawaii, when there's good stuff going on there, like the Rams in Maui. Start talking about his planning for that trip. I'm also going to lean on both of you guys for potluck question of the day. There might be a couple. One is buying a bad steak and then admitting it to the world and getting skewered for it, pun intended. And the other one is the NFL international schedule. Where would you want to go of all those places? I think Arash on today's show is the most savvy world traveler, so think about it.
Sure.
Dublin, London, Brazil, Madrid, Munich. So think about that.
Okay. I think I already know.
Cheers, man. Don't give it now, though.
Okay.
That's a tease ahead. Please, don't give it now. What's going on, buddy? You already got one show in the books, right?
Yes, very much. We're workers here, Steve. We grind. That's all we do.
We're workers here, Steve.
I will say, though, today, in between, I decided, I was like, you know what? Usually, I'll like, you know, maybe go fit in a workout between the shows, like when I come into here or whatever. I get off at a normal human time now. Today, I decided to take an hour nap.
Is that right?
I did.
Griffin, how'd the nap go yesterday for the company?
Yeah, no, we don't nap here on the Cofield and Company. We're all just grinders.
Yeah,
it's too risky before the show.
I do feel like it's a waste of time. But
sometimes you need it though,
right? And I am strict with my time. Like I set alarms. I'm like, it's an hour. Like that's it. I've also read that if you do nap, like you don't actually want it to be too long. Actually, the cat naps are better for you.
Really?
Usually, when I nap, I will actually only do 20 minutes. I will just set a timer for 20 minutes and close the eyes and then pop right back up, and that will help me. But today I decided, you know what? Like, I got time. All right, let me do an hour. Let's see. I've been working hard. I got my articles all done, everything like that.
You seem peppy.
Well, I did pound an energy drink when I got done because I felt terrible afterward. I don't understand naps sometimes. I feel worse when I take naps. I don't know how people do it regularly. I feel terrible.
I don't do it because I don't nap. I'll go down for 4 hours.
Yeah.
So I can't do a blip.
Yeah, no, it's awful. I feel awful every time.
I'm surprised that you napped. Who are you?
Mm-hmm.
Who are you? Want to give away Who tickets? Let's do it now. The song is over. North American Farewell Tour. The Who is in town in September. We got tickets before you can buy them. So you can buy them this Friday, 10 a.m. AXS.com, AXS.com, MGM Grand Garden Arena. MGM Grand Garden Arena, tickets to go see the legendary Who. Man, I'd like to go to that show. I don't know where I am on that Sunday. Well, I'm not covering a UNLV game because I don't play on Sundays. But anyway, caller 7-364-1100, 364-1100. We actually have to start out with a couple of baseball updates. First of all, I know when the A's are making a mark, when the SO, the significant other, the girlfriend, who is a Dodgers fan, and believe me, she is all about Evil Empire.
Mm-hmm.
I've taught her, and now she enjoys winning, so she's just like, get more players, spend. You know, screw the Rockies. She went, I'll come downstairs sometimes, and she's already up, and she'll be like, did you see what those skin flint raised? I'm like, okay, calm down. You're the behemoth. She was a little shocked yesterday. She's like, the A's beat the Dodgers? Wow, good for the A's. You know what? It has been good for the A's so far. At 20 and 22, they can definitely rake.
Mm-hmm. One of the better lineups in baseball.
And Nick Kurtz, who we think is going to be a 25 to 30 homer or more guy. They took him last year in the first round with the fourth pick out of Wake Forest. Steamrolled through double A, kicked ass in triple A, went up really early. Now, he hadn't hit a home run, but the cool thing with him is he was making contact and getting a hit almost every day. So he finally hit a jack last night. By the way, Jacob Wilson had two. He's not a power guy. I don't know what this guy's going to be. So I don't want to say like, hey, he's Tony Gwynn, but he's in line to at least challenge for probably top five in the batting title. He's hitting over 360.
Mm-hmm.
Super impressive. And another guy who barely had a cup of coffee. Look at the A's drafting first round college players who can come right up and contribute.
The lineup's been a lot of fun to watch. It puts them in almost every single game. Rooker's been absolutely fantastic, too. You have a bunch of guys who are going to hit a lot of home runs. It has been so much fun to watch.
They always should have been able to mine quadruple A guys
sure.
and hit on some of them.
Yep.
Because their system was full of quadruple A guys. Not an insult. But once you know, once your triple A team has 27 to 31-year-olds, those are quadruple A guys. And every once in a while, you get one to break through, and Rooker's a great example. Like, you know, I'm not going to say fifth chance because I don't think it was – he might have been with three organizations, Twins mostly. Mm-hmm. But they hit on some guys, and now they have some prospects coming up.
And if you look at some of the metrics for them too, like across the board, top 10 group as a lineup. Strikeout rate under 20%. They've been very good there. They don't really walk as much, so you'd like to see that improve. Way to runs create a plus, which is a good thing, right, in terms of top 10.
Don't expect Jacob Wilson to walk.
Yeah, right.
Maybe I didn't use a perfect example because Gwynn wasn't a giant walk guy. But I think Jacob Wilson's going to be one of those guys. If he stays healthy, he's going to log like 630 at-bats every year.
Well, Kurtz seems to be like a 3-2 outcomes guy so far. He struck out 37% of the time. And like, granted, it's a very small sample size. That's an insane strikeout rate. But he's hitting 280. Yeah. So like, it's literally like every outcome is either a strikeout or you're getting a hit. So, hey, if it's going to work, it's going to work. But they've been fun, dude. And I think tonight's game is really fascinating.
285 with Yamamoto.
But Yamamoto struggled. He has not been great. It goes back to his last three starts. He had a start against Paul Skeens and the Pirates, and he was kind of a little shaky with the command. Wasn't really great. Was getting guys on, but was getting out of it. And then you figured, like, all right, well, what's going to happen if he takes on a D-backs lineup, which can hit as well, which is one of the better ones in baseball. D-backs obliterated him. Absolutely got to him. Finally exposed him a bit. And you do wonder if maybe this is the start of a little bit of a decline. And look, when I say decline too for Yamamoto, I just mean like decline to like top tier ace as opposed to elite untouchable god. So he has been great, but you have seen some warning signs, and this is a very good lineup. And I cannot wait to see how they can test him today.
Another game to update on, or a game to update on today, Yankees have tied the Mariners, now top seven. That's 2-2. I cannot figure out what the Mariners are.
Well, I think we know what they are. Oh, I think we're learning very quickly what are they are. They're frauds. I mean, because here's the thing. This lineup, for those who really haven't been tracking baseball day to day, the Mariners got off to an insane start with their lineup. Last year, that group of guys was swatting at everything. They couldn't get contact. They were striking out almost every time up. Again, exaggerating, but still, they just weren't good. And then they get off to this power start where they're just mashing everything. And part of me, and I think a lot of people who follow baseball are like, I don't know about this. That lineup has started to take a real step back, and while that lineup has started to take a step back, their rotation has fallen apart with injuries. We now have three starters, Bryce Miller, the latest one today, that got sent to the IL. You still have Logan Gilbert, who's on the injured list. You have George Kirby, who's on the injured list. This was the best rotation and healthiest rotation in baseball. They used six starting pitchers last year, and now here they are falling apart due to injury. The lineup is absolutely regressing. And they are slipping down the standings in a really big way. It looked like they were going to run away with the AOS, but we know how baseball works. And I don't think they're any different than the other four teams that are all within two games of 500 in that division.
Mariners on the plus or minus overall, if you're betting them, have they been high priced?
No, I think that they have been reasonably priced. I think there's been, like, this series against your Yankees, I think, is a pretty good example. Yankees were favorites in each one of the games. So it's not like the market really like swung really hard. And outside of the Freed start, there wasn't really guys that the Yankees were throwing out there that you were like, this guy's immensely better than the opponent that he's facing. You know, even yesterday, Brian Wu, who's actually a pretty good prospect for him, and I guess you can call him a prospect. He's been starting games for like a year and a half now. But like, Wu's a pretty good pitcher, right? He was still a fairly sizable underdog yesterday at home, and they actually ended up winning in extras. So I don't think the market's gotten too high. What I will say, I think the Mariners are very lucky that we don't cover baseball the way we cover other sports. I think it is a flat-out embarrassment that they missed out on the postseason the last 2 years, given the way that rotation works and how little they have done to improve that lineup, to the point where now injuries are really starting to hit them. They're finally on the wrong side of the injury thing, and they might miss out on the playoffs again, but this time due to actually some bad luck and injuries. I don't know. I think that if you were to make a list of the last 5 to 10 years of absolute failures, I think the Mariners should be on that list.
Really?
Yes. You're squandering these. Like, it's not a question, right?
No,
it's
you've
best
got
rotation of baseball.
You've got, and they're all young guys, yes. And they're all together, and eventually you won't be able to pay all of them. It's like having a young quarterback. At some point, it's going to splinter, or you got to jack the money up. it's going to cost you somewhere else.
Yeah.
Or you're just going to lose them. Yeah, I think Seattle's a case of one. I mean, you're on VSiN. You guys cover gambling. So you're going to be on this a lot more day to day. I don't think more than, what, six teams around baseball get national coverage and would get attention 30 games in. It's also Seattle, which, unless Seattle has an awesome team, is like the hinterland for the rest of the country. It really is. Like, no one pays attention to Seattle. I know on the ground there, they're intense.
Yeah.
Like, they have two good sports radio stations, and I give them credit. When the A's come here, we're going to cover them. I don't think I'm going to cover the A's like some of these markets. I don't think I have that much interest. I don't know if the audience will have that much. I mean, like, every day, and I can tell you this, if they are like the Pirates, like if they are like the A's have been, there's going to be a push that first year. You'll get kind of daily coverage, but if they're no good, they're not going to get any coverage.
Of course.
Like, people have other stuff to do here.
I mean, we've seen,
like, this is not, you know, sports radio in Detroit covered them when they were bad. Now, I think they eventually were like, hey, when the Lions were getting better than the Tigers, we don't have to do it every freaking day during the summer. But having a bad baseball team is murder. But in Seattle, they're competitive enough, and they have expectations, so they get coverage. But outside of that market, nothing.
Nah, I understand that aspect of it. And I think a lot of these teams, whether it's the Mariners or just some of the way the owners handle these teams, they're very lucky that baseball is not covered in that high-profile fashion. Because, yep, like, if shows like First Take that actually like put things on the map to an extent and actually covered things, like, that would be...
We have no shot with those guys. Even with Mad Dog, who's a baseball junkie, I doubt he could name five players. And that's not a dig on him. He's an older guy.
Sure.
And he's based in New York. All of their time... I don't even think they know the Phillies.
So this is my
probably
quest.
Barely know the Red Sox.
This is my quest to crap on the Mariners. They should get more coverage, and they should be trashed.
So you can hammer them.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll try to do that.
Yeah. I also.
I mean, rivals, right? Do sure. I have the division right, or yeah, am I doing Seattle and the Raiders like I've done for 25 years now?
No.
When Seattle's not in the division, and I'm like, all I remember is the old Seahawk logo, and I don't know, Bosworth and Kurt Warner and Jim Zorn.
That's why I think this matters. Like, I actually just bet the Rangers to win the division a couple of days ago, +325.
That's a bad bet.
Why is that?
I'm kidding.
Oh, okay. So like, why would you think that? So, like, because the Rangers, look, their lineup, I think, is getting slightly better. We'll see. Seager's hurt again.
Imagine if you get a whole year to Grom.
Well, that's the other thing.
Kind of a big difference.
Their pitching's incredible.
Yeah.
And so you have, like, this division where, again, yes, the A's are in it. We have all these teams that have very big flaws, and they're all within, like, two games of each other. And I think that's going to be the case all year long. They're just going to cannibalize each other. And by the end of the year, you're going to get this insane race for all four of these teams, because I think all of them have certain staying power, because they're all going to win about like 84 games. And then we'll see what happens.
NBA on the way back. We always do it when John is in. He is the VSiN NBA insider. They got him! They got him! Oh, crazy, angry Draymond Green. The NBA finally find him.
It's Cofield and Company, live from the Battle Born Broadcast Center on ESPN Las Vegas.
Giveaways galore today. Let's give away some country tickets for Dina Carter. Got a big pool party going on in our Hank's launch party. We got Hank FM, our new country station. That's going down on September. Check that, September. May 25th, Sunday, May 25th. It's presented by the Las Vegas Honda dealers. At the Palms, May 25th, we got a four-pack of tickets to go see Dina Carter. I don't like calling someone who's, like, in their 50s legendary. I don't like that. Especially a woman. Makes them sound old. So, Dina Carter. Mm. Good show. Crank the Hank. Call her 7364-1100, 364-1100. All right, OKC is doing what you said they would do. You told me for months and months and months. It hasn't been easy,
right?
But they were the team to beat in the West. You kept calling it the OKC Invitational. And the Nuggets have been there through three, the last two games, and then Sputterville. But you want to point to something I think a lot of basketball people don't – okay. Casual NBA fans don't appreciate, because they're always like, they don't play any defense today. The good teams play defense.
They've been great.
Even the teams you think are just, you know, chuck and duck – when the Warriors win, they play good defense. But OKC plays good D.
So I think there was one number that really stuck out when you evaluated what Denver did in this last game against them, and it was the number 46. That is how many three-point attempts that Denver had in that game. Why that matters is they averaged about 33 in the regular season. Their three-point frequency has gone from low 30s to low 40s. So, in other words, in this series specifically. So, what is happening here, Denver cannot get inside on a much smaller Oklahoma City Thunder team. They can't. They can't get to the paint. They can't get to within 4 feet. They are forced to just chuck up these perimeter shots because they have no other recourse. And it's incredible, Steve. The defense has been consistent and consistently great for Oklahoma City throughout this entire series. It has been troubling to see that the ancillary pieces around Shai Gilgeous-Alexander haven't really performed very well when you're talking about giving him some offensive output. But Denver has an offensive rating in five games of 103.9. That's an abysmal offensive rating. And OKC's done it with the way they've done it all year long, which is what their defense is. And what you finally saw yesterday, too, was their overall depth is really starting to shine through. They have waves of guys that they can put in against a Denver team that is playing 6.5 dudes, one of which is Russell Westbrook, who has slowly reverted back to Russell Westbrook, inaccurate from beyond the arc, which, by the way, thanks, Russ, for turning into Ray Allen for seven games against the Clippers and then completely disappearing.
You're a Clipper.
Yeah, right. And then completely disappearing in the next round. Absolutely fantastic. But he has completely disappeared. They have no other bench guys that you're really depending on. Look at the box score from yesterday where you had three guys in the starting five for Denver play over 40 minutes, and then you had only three other guys come off the bench, and only two of them played more than 15.
Adelman equals Malone, or does Adelman prove that Malone was right, that Calvin Booth didn't give him anyone on this bench?
I think...
Is Adelman still stubborn about playing young guys?
No, he's cut him off. I mean, Strother's seen a couple of minutes here in this series, but he has... This is what we're talking about, right? Like, you have more young guys that you could play. Peyton Watson's played a little bit here and there. Like I mentioned, Strother. But this has been a postseason in which he has ridden his top six guys, and he's had no other choice. There's nobody else on this roster outside of, like, Christian Brown is, like, a good player. He's fine, and that is a Booth selection, obviously. But this is still Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic, Aaron Gordon, and sometimes Michael Porter Jr. when he's fully healthy. And then you're hoping that everything else kind of comes together. Like, this has been a very good example of maybe why Booth is gone, because there really is no depth that you could rely on. And that's really it. I am actually really impressed. I think Adelman's probably going to get the job because he's done a pretty good one getting him to this point. They're still two wins away from the Western Conference Finals. It's very impressive. But, dude, this Thunder team, man. Watch them play defense. It's really impressive.
Are you stealing the Adelman will get the job from our guy, Real Matt Smith, in Denver?
Oh, is that? I mean, he said that to us, yeah.
He did say it the other day. I'm kidding. Right. Because I wanted to give you credit. John is, look me right in the eye, John is the only guy in the country 30 seconds after Dallas got the first pick who said Cooper Flack needs to be traded. The number one pick needs to be traded. He's the only guy. Because then everyone else stole it after that. No. People have this thought. Now, for some, it blows them away. Jay Williams comes out on the next morning after Dallas gets the number one pick. Cooper Flagg is going to be the guy. You had said the day before, hey, their plan does not include getting Cooper Flags. It includes the build is getting good experience, great players. You said, go get Giannis. Here's Jay Williams the next morning.
Could you potentially package something like this to get a Giannis? Could you package in a one-on-one trade to get a Devin Booker? Could you get a Tyrese Maxey? If your championship window is in 2 to 3 years, could you utilize that pick and some assets to get somebody who's ready to contribute to you right now with the pressure in the West Coast?
Okay. The entire panel was like, what? The first guy to point it out to me was Griffin's like, he said the same thing JBT did. Now, some of the other, Devin Booker, and that's not...
Tyrese Maxey.
I'm not that fired up about that.
We're not shipping the first pick for Tyrese.
If you're
going to
trade the first pick, like the big prize on the market is Giannis.
Right.
You go and get Giannis. You had mentioned the point that they had just signed Giannis's brother like 2 weeks ago in Dallas.
Which, by the way, I was wrong about that.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yes, I got my timelines mixed up there. He was part of the Mavericks roster. He is no longer, so I got my two timelines
mixed up. So the desire is to win now. Yeah. It's a small window. AD's not going to be around in 6 years when Cooper Flagg might be really good. So Jay Williams rolls us out there. And then from there, it just turned into the panel, just acting like buffoons, led by Alan Hahn, this New York guy.
What are you drinking this morning? Are you like you want them to burn the building down? This is a gift from the basketball gods.
Yes.
You traded Luka Doncic. You get a player in Cooper Flagg who can replace that as the son that these fans can fall back in love with that they feel like was torn from them.
That's how we're building an organization.
Mm-hmm.
We need the fans to have someone they like. This is stupid.
Of course.
If that's your logic, that is stupid. Guess who the fans will fall in love with? Giannis.
Right.
And winning championships. I think Cooper Flagg's going to be really good. I am not like a lot of people. I don't think Cooper Flagg is a
Wembanyama type.
I don't think he's a 23.7
sure.
7 rebound, 6 assist guy. I don't even know if he'll be an all NBA player. Jeff I think Goodman he'd be very today. Good. And I think for certain markets, like for the Jazz, who sure. like their whites, he would have been a big ticket seller and someone to build around. I think he's going to be a really good player. But I'm not even sure he's that far ahead of the rest of this class. Like I said it the other day, we didn't make a bet on it, but I could see three other players in this draft. I'm not going to name the players. I'm just saying in general, three other players turn out to be better players in the NBA than Cooper Flagg. So for Alan Hahn to be like, it's a generational guy. Is he?
Just say is Dylan he? Harper.
I'm not that, I've voiced concern about Harper and his gas tank, so he's got to fix that. And we got stuff on Ace Bailey coming up. But my point is,
of course,
I think Cooper Flagg can be a good player. I don't really have enough on him yet based on some good high school play and a good year at Duke. We're going to see what kind of player he turns out to be. I think he's got a lot of tools.
Don't forget the Zapruder film of him here in Las Vegas.
I remember.
Playing against the select team.
Sure.
No, I think you're right. As I kept saying it, I framed it like this. On our show on VSiN with Stormy, where I said, with Victor Wembanyama when he was coming out, if the aliens came and abducted Victor Wembanyama, the Spurs were still going to draft the rights to him on the off chance the aliens decided to return him. For Cooper Flagg, if he gets abducted by aliens, you're like, okay, I'll take the next guy, right? I don't need to take that risk. If Wembanyama was that special, Flagg, I think, is a very good prospect, but I don't think he's anywhere near that level. And we saw Jeff Goodman today on the field of 68. His quote today was, "This is the best prospect we've seen come out in a while." And it's like, dude, Wembanyama was out 2 years ago. What are we talking about?
Is he a better
here?
Prospect than Wembanyama?
No, of course not. Wembanyama didn't even have to go to the combine.
I think we got our answer. This was Nico Harrison talking yesterday at a press conference.
I might around and trade the number one pick for Giannis, but I want an apology because you guys are so short-sighted. I made a deal with Adam Silver to send Luka to the Lakers to generate hype for this dog league. All I had to do was sacrifice that fat Serbian, and in exchange, I got the rights to draft Cooper Flagg. Give me executive of the year already, man.
Very confident. There you go. Proof. Nico Harrison said it.
I love it, dude. It's obviously, this is one of those things where it's like, the Simpsons, who's little Ralphie? The gif of him sitting on the bus and he laughs. He's like, I'm in danger. Like, this is how I feel about AI.
That was really Nico Harrison. Sound crew sent that over. Otis Broadcasting has the best sound people. They know.
In 10 years.
AI.
Yeah, it's going to be so dangerous in 10 years, but I can't help but laugh. Like, that's such a funny clip.
I try to get people all the time. I still think the best one, and it's such a deep reference, but the AI for Steve Alford is friggin' dynamite. Like, the voice matches. There's like no inflection.
Sure.
He doesn't move his face. It's so good. So what? Nico Harrison stood up and said, you know what? That's enough. Cussed a couple times and he said, you know what? I might screw around and trade Flagg for Giannis. How about that?
I will say that
really wasn't Nico Harrison. Damn it.
I will say the hashtag rigged is a very irritating and nauseating conversation.
It's infuriating. Well, we're going to get back to it. Coming up next, Arash, Mr. LA is in.
Mr. LA, Mr. Vegas, Arash Markazi joins Cofield on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, let's bring in Mr. LA in our conversation about the NBA and how everything changed with the number one pick going to Dallas and the Celtics losing Jason Tatum, probably for all of next year, too. JBT is here. It's Cofield. Arash is up. Sporting Tribune. Arash, what's up, buddy?
Not much. How are you guys?
We're good. First of all, we need a report. SoFi Beyonce, how was it?
Fantastic. Really good show. She played all of her you know, her new songs. Everyone was wearing a cowboy hat. But then she was also playing a lot of her classics. I wasn't sure if that was going to happen. But, yeah, it was a great show, great concert at SoFi.
How much country?
I would say half. Like, you know,
what?
if you're an old school Beyonce fan, but she did play all of her Cowboy Carter. So, you know, if you like that album, you know, but listen, I get it. There was a lot of cowboy hats, cowboy boots. Everyone was roaring and ready to go.
I like her country stuff. I think I like it because so many people hate it just based on the fact that she's Beyonce, but I don't think it's too bad. I'm a country aficionado, if you didn't know that.
I did not know that, Steve.
You did not know that, I know.
Was it more or less accepted than Post Malone's foray into country music? I'm not big on my music knowledge.
I've heard complaints about that. Arash, I've heard complaints about Post Malone going too country.
But listen, he's a Cowboys fan, so you kind of knew that there was some country in him, so it's all good. No,
okay. Three songs, couple duets, let's get out. Come on, go back to your old genre. Well, let's talk about cowboy hats, right? Is that still in the logo, or is that like an 83 logo? The Mavs get the number one pick. So, yeah, that's a cool story. But what does it mean for you guys in L.A. and especially with the Lakers?
Well, no, I mean, it doesn't change anything. I want to kind of attach this to, the, like, the Luka trade and, you know, I guess the conspiracy theories and all that. But, you know, but, I mean, the only connection there, obviously, is that the Mavericks were so bad following the Luka trade that enabled them to be in the conversation for the pick. But I mean, it's still incredible. I mean, I think everyone joked about them getting the pick, but it was a less than a 2% chance that it would happen, which is why, you know, a lot of people were talking about a potential conspiracy theory. But listen, I am genuinely happy for the Mavericks fan base. I just felt that was just such a terrible trade for them, a crushing blow. And now they do at least get their franchise superstar of the future.
Well, it does affect the Lakers a little bit, right? Like, can't they call about Daniel Gafford or somebody? The Mavericks have a glut of centers, and obviously they have made deals before. The Lakers can benefit from this, can they not?
They could. If I'm Nico Harrison, though, like I do probably give any call to Rob Pelinka for a trade sometime. Don't know what that deal would look like, but I really wouldn't make any trades with the Lakers for at least 12 months.
I also think the number one pick going to Dallas affects the Lakers this way. Luka is not signed yet, right? He's not in the fold on a long-term deal with the Lakers, right?
Yeah, no, it's a formality, though.
It's a formality?
Yeah, if you're suggesting that Luka's going to go back to the team that not only traded him, but then took a big dump on his career and his previous 6 years, like, that's for sure not going to happen.
Everything can be forgiven. So what if they called him a big tub of goo? It doesn't matter. If their pitch is, hey, come back here and play with AD and maybe Giannis, or AD and Flag. Yeah, I think the other factor in this, Arash, is what is LeBron doing? Can we get a decision? As guys get older, and Aaron Rodgers did this and Favre did it, like, there is a point where you don't have the leverage anymore, and the, hey, I need a lot of time and I'm not here to recruit other players. Like, we don't have time, and you are here to recruit LeBron. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to come back. I think he's been doing this every year for the past 5 years or so. Like there's just, so folks out there are clear, that like, there's 0% chance that LeBron James is going to retire the Duncan way, where it's a July press release. Like, he's going to get his tour. He's going to get his car in Miami. He's going to get something in Cleveland. You know, like, he will let you know. And so, unless something changed, and it's not. So LeBron for sure will come back. So the Lakers are going to continue with that thought process. And again, he is going to recruit. Again, he says certain things that he doesn't. I don't know why he says it, but
exactly.
He is going to come back, and he will help the Lakers recruit.
I mean, there is a reality maybe where Luka decides to decline the player option and join a real L.A. team a year later, or a year earlier than expected.
Clippers, a threat. Yeah. Clippers are a threat, Arash!
Playing in front of the wall?
Yeah,
come on.
I, I was waiting on Kawhi to finally be healthy, and he was healthy, and he looked tremendous, and it was the same result, unfortunately, which I am bummed about. Like, I was hoping for some playoffs in Los Angeles to cover. No Lakers, no Clippers, no Kings, so that was very short-lived.
Arash is with us, thesportingtribune.com. He's the CEO of at Sporting Trib up on Twitter. Okay. I got a little mad at Cam Brink when there was that news of the male practice players, and you know she was worried about you know people boning up and rubbing against her because she got some creepy responses. And I was like, this is a really good idea by the Sparks to go out and get you know a good male practice team. Then you send out a video, and like fatter me is playing against them. I'm like, now I am mad. Now I'm on Brink's side. What are they doing? Why is they have some guy out there who's 6 foot and 282 playing against these women? Like, get guys who are good.
Yeah, I think that was the most surprising thing for me, which is why I shot the video. I have seen male practice teams before, yes. And, you know, usually you're they're not the best of the best, but, you know, generally guys that, like, look like basketball players. But, yeah, if folks out there didn't check out my the post on social.
Go check it
the
out.
The guy who is wearing number 9. Yeah, not
I
that
mean, great. Like I said, 6 foot, 280. He might play a little, but it's like there's an injury risk. At one point, he looked like he was going to stumble into someone. It's like, get some real players. And the reason I also got a little annoyed with this is
what is happening?
J-Mac from Colin retweeted. He's like, that looks like fun. I'd like to get out there. And I'm like, you can't be out there either, J-Mac. He won't answer me, but I responded to him. I'm like, okay, where'd you play high school at least? Like, I gotta have some kind of background. I'm telling you that, and you know this, that USC team, the male practice team that plays against USC, that ain't jabronis. The South Carolina women's team that, you know, and the guys who play against them, who Dawn Staley credited after they won the title, like, you get a real team. I'm sorry, I go on and on about this, but I just got super annoyed, and I'm like, okay, now the Sparks are actually wrong. This is insulting. I saw Kelsey Plum reacting to it, too, and she started chuckling, like, they got to do better. I'm like, well, why are you even practicing against men if they're not as good or better than you?
Yeah, I mean, that group that they went up against yesterday at Crypto, like, I don't think they're preparing them for a whole lot. Like, I mean, you got to get better players than that. So I don't know whether they have a rotation, if that's dual team, but yeah, that team that I saw yesterday on the floor at Crypto, not that great.
Hey, number 9 pulls down a board, pretty strong.
He's a fat load. He's going to hurt someone.
He's got a nice follow through.
And I'm not saying I should be out there. I would hurt someone as well. I'm old and I'm chubby. Okay, so they're going to play against the women coming up. The season's opening up here, the WNBA season. How stoked are you, and how much social media have you seen? Because I, you know, on the floor is the most important thing, but I thought the collection of players I got, I'm like, this is going to be the most marketable team in the league. On TikTok, I've seen so many videos of them just dancing, and I'm like, my Lord, this is going to be a good team, and these ladies are, I'll put it nicely, marketable.
Very marketable. Yeah, Cameron Brink, Rekia Jackson, Kelsey Plum. They will... if you're not a basketball fan, you're definitely going to at least come out and just check out a few games. Again, they're still waiting for Cameron Brink to come back. She'll probably miss the first month or so of the season. But I think that they are a playoff team. Again, you're talking about a team that was one of the worst teams a year ago following the Cameron Brink injury.
Playoff team.
Yeah. I mean, again,
really?
I don't think they'll get past the first round. But I do think they sneak in to the postseason.
Yeah, Ray Burrell. I don't know if I'm butchering her last name. That was another one who was dancing. A tall drink of water. So check it out. It's good stuff. Yeah, I'm trying to be clean. You know, I don't want to be piggish. I'm old. Arash Markazi is with us. All right, Arash. I got to go on the Wayback Machine. I saw you retweet the AP header about the Menendez brothers. How well do you remember that initial deal and the fact that they're going to get another day in court?
I remember it very vividly, just, you know, obviously a shocking case where, two kids really at the time, high school, right, or killed their parents. I mean, just when you heard about it, it just sounded like a story that you've never heard of. You know, two kids from a very affluent family killing their mom and dad. So, you know, the fact that this is being retried, obviously we have that documentary that aired on Netflix.
Wait, what'd you, hey, Rosh, I'll cut you off. What did you think of the doc? Because I thought it was pretty – I mean, they did make it – it made a little bit of a case that, hey, these were abusive parents, but it also made a pretty strong case that the Menendez brothers were a sociopath.
Yeah, that's a great point. And so that's why I don't think Governor Newsom should get involved in this one. And I really don't know what's going to happen with them. But I enjoyed the doc because, this was a case that I heard of and that I remember – like as a kid, right? Like this was, so I did not follow it on a day-to-day basis. I wasn't picking up the newspaper every morning. So there's a lot about the case, although I do remember it, and I do remember, obviously, they were sentenced and sent to jail. Didn't remember a lot of the details, and obviously didn't know some of the backstory. So the power of media, guys. I mean, the fact that the sentence got reduced is crazy.
So we mentioned documentary, just kind of talking about movie making, TV, documentary making. It's funny. I was talking about Stan Kroenke yesterday with NFL stadiums on the fact that Kroenke built that whole thing, didn't get public financing, didn't want it because he had so much land. He wanted to do a bunch of stuff, and you've seen how he's expanded the campus over and over. Is there something new that's going to be there on that campus at Hollywood Park with a movie studio production facility?
Yeah, so they're building a Hollywood studio, and it will be used for the Olympic broadcast center. But it will be used after the Olympics as well as a Hollywood studio. I'm assuming that they're have to get some inside knowledge of some of these tax breaks that Hollywood's hoping to get in the state of California. As you know, a lot of these films are going to other places. I know Las Vegas wants to take advantage of that. So I do think that we're going to get some of those old tax breaks. So the Hollywood movies continue to be made in Los Angeles, and it does seem like Hollywood Park wants to be a part of that.
Arash is very Hollywood. If the audience doesn't know it, he's been on TV a lot. He's been part of projects. I saw you tweet about something coming out, the secrets of the Bunny Ranch. What is this? And you have some touch with this?
Yeah, so, those who remember the old HBO show and Hoff when he would, go to the Playboy Mansion and do his thing. So my portion of this documentary, forget if it's, I think it is six parts. That'll be shown over 2 weeks. So two per week, but I helped out on the Lamar Odom situation because when Lamar looked like, to be honest, when I flew out to Las Vegas to cover the story, I mean, I thought he was gone. I thought that was it for Lamar. So basically kind of touched on that, what he was going through, having talked to Lamar since he's been okay. So again, had never been to the ranch myself, but I do. you'll actually see me in the documentary. I do talk about what Lamar was going through during that time period.
I don't like to lie on my show. In Pahrump, I've been to multiple ranches there, so I will admit that. We actually went 20 years ago to make a sales pitch to them because we wanted them as an advertiser on Cofield and Company. That's at the amazing time, it was the Wise Guy show. The sports pig was like, we have to go to Pahrump to the chicken ranch. And we actually made a sales pitch.
There you go.
I didn't try out the product. Just being professional. We got a tour.
To the point of Arash being Hollywood and television, there was a great moment in New Orleans where a young man recognized Arash Markazi. It was like, I seen you on TV. Adam Hill was not happy.
We heard all about it. Trust me, we heard all about it. All right, Arash, see you soon, buddy. Have a good week.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. See you. Bye.
Sporting Tribune. At Sporting Trib, Sporting Tribune, thesportingtribune.com. This part of the show is brought to you by our friends at Jackson's Bar and Grill, top value steak in Las Vegas. Jackson's Bar and Grill is your pregame and postgame headquarters for really any of the sports action or show action up on the strip. VGK game, it's a good spot to hit tonight, during, before, after the game. Best steak value in town. $20 steaks include the 1-pound ribeye, the garlic marinated bistro filet for VGK games. They've got some contests going on, especially for gamers, a chance to win the puck and shoot the puck, and you could get up to $500 in free gaming credit. Chef Lonnie's cutting up the steaks, hand cut every day, so check it out. 6020 West Flamingo, it's Jackson's Bar and Grill.
Now, back to Cofield and Company, live from the Battleborne Broadcast Center on ESPN, Las Vegas.
NFL schedule release day. I really am an absolute putz with this. I don't want to know. Like, it's Christmas, so I want to find out in the 5 o'clock hour when it comes out. But I also, like, we have a job of if it leaks and we have the information to talk about it. So I know very minimal. I guess I'll look it up next hour about a lot of the Raiders stuff. But we did get information on Thanksgiving, yeah. Chiefs and Cowboys. Cowboys are also on the opening Thursday night game against the Eagles. I'm already getting Cowboy fatigue.
Why? They're going to be good.
Are they?
Yeah. I mean, look, I think I understand not wanting to watch them all the time. I get that. But at least they're not one of these teams like the Giants who get shoved down our throats. Yeah. At least generally speaking, they're a double-digit win team that is going to make the playoffs.
I think they need to acquire a little more talent, and it doesn't have to be a star running back, but they need to use free agency a little bit more. But my biggest worry is that there is a massive coaching downgrade. And they've also added an inflammatory guy. That's not the right way to put it, but, you know, unpredictable guy in George Pickens. I don't know. Is Little Shotty a head coach or not?
I think he's a head coach that Jerry Jones can control.
Can he then command respect of the team if things aren't going well?
I don't think so. And I think that is a very fair assessment and very big wild card. It is going to be hard for a team to really take their guy seriously if they know that Jerry Jones is always just over his shoulder and making sure that whatever decision needs to be made is made, or at least he believes needs to be made is made. Hopefully. Because here's the thing. If you're Schottenheimer, what do you have to lose? Like, once you have the job.
Oh, no, he should have taken the job.
No, I'm saying, like, but once you're in.
Oh, yeah.
Tell Jerry Jones to screw, like, screw you, dude.
Right, this rule, is this rule my job. An iron fist up and down.
Yep, because what are you going to do, fire me? You called me the lifetime assistant. I don't care. You're the one that looks bad if you fire me. I'm going to do what I want to do. So hopefully he does that.
Because they did need a culture change. I like Mike McCarthy, but it seemed like that whole thing was getting old.
Yeah.
Okay, bold predictions. Once the release comes out, we'll see. It doesn't matter. You're just making a prediction. It's not like the schedule for the Patriots is going to be wildly crazy good. You think the Patriots actually can be good?
10-plus wins, baby. You can get it. Let's go.
You can get it? Well, you can get it. do you really want to bet over 10?
Yeah. You're getting like plus 280, something like that.
Oh, you have an alternate number already.
It's an alternate number. Dude, look.
Can we bet this, you and I?
Sure. I'll go 10-plus. So I get 10, right?
Yeah,
I'll 10 give plus you the tiebreaker. Instead of 10.5? All right,
okay,
10
I'll go under.
Okay, cool. All right.
There's no price on it? Or I am giving you the price?
We'll go straight up. That's fine.
Okay.
These bets, I'm not going to be like the Adam Hills of the world. Well, actually, the odds are this. Like, no, who cares? I'm making the proclamation, so we'll go straight up.
Let's bet a dinner, and then if you win, you get 2.8 dinners.
There we go. All right. Or at least they order a lot of food at the place.
Sure.
Because here's the thing. Actually, I love what the Patriots did in terms of adding personnel. Like, if you look at it, retaining the important guys, they actually have a pretty decent cornerback room. I think that Drake May is the real deal in the sense of being a young quarterback that you can build around. I think that they're going to be very good, and I think they're going to take a massive step forward.
JVT back in the fold doing shows here and there with Cofield and Company. Best part about it, we make all these bets. He's the only guy in like 20 years of the show who actually has a spreadsheet to track it. Thank you.